Hi gang, Bob Boving here to bring you The Mystery Project, where our series is The Investigations of Quentin Nichols by John Richard Wright. Ontario in the 1890s sported its fair share of eccentrics, among them Sir Hedley Stanhope. His dream was a really big house, but he's not the only eccentric. And in this case, eccentricity leads to madness and murder. Neil Monroe stars as Quentin Nichols in The Keeper of the Castle with Sarah Orenstein and Peter Millard.
He must be headed north of the castle. Keep your eyes open and your carbines ready. He's killed before, so be careful. Thank God he's safe again. Let's try it.
Go to the devil! There you are! I'm back, my love. The keeper is back. And God help those who try to keep me away.
Good morning, Inspector. Daniel has the carriage downstairs. Are you quite ready?
Just finishing my coffee, Doctor. Bag's just over there, if you wouldn't mind.
So it is.
I thought you were an emancipated woman.
Emancipated doesn't mean addled, Quentin.
Oh, small tease, Abby, small tease. Well, off to Darkfield Castle and some excellent trouting.
Oh, you can have it.
Now, Sir Hedley's invitation included you in this quiet weekend. He sets a smashing table and he offers supreme fly fishing.
No, thank you. Darkfield Castle gave me the creeps the last time, and I fear little about it has changed. Daniel and I will drop you off and continue on to Whitchurch.
Well, suit yourself. And I'm sure this visit will be much better than our last.
Fewer bodies would certainly make it so.
A genuine castle in Ontario?
Yes, Wellington. Sir Hedley felt we needed at least one edifice to entertain royalty and built it up here to save taxes.
Abby says you arrested a workman there for murder.
Well, actually, it was the architect who designed and built Darkfield. Miles Williams went insane, murdered four workmen, with three others still unaccounted for. It's sad, really. Miles was the illegitimate son of one of Sir Hedley's servant girls who died in childbirth. Sir Hedley took the boy under his wing, paid for his education, and later hired him to design and build Darkfield.
I can't help thinking there was more to it, that perhaps they were related.
No rumors, Abby. Malicious gossip. Even if he was the father, Sir Hedley followed a commendable course. It's too bad about Miles. Gifted architect, talented engineer, spoke five languages. Really, you know, quite brilliant.
Why did he kill the workman?
Well, pure madness. Abby helped on the case, later headed a panel that examined Miles for the courts.
Sometimes there is a fine line between genius and madness. Overwork and exhaustion taxed him into delusions and paranoia. He was hearing voices, and he seemed oblivious to his crime, even at the hearing.
Anyhow, the castle became his obsession. He trusted no one. Hired workmen who spoke different languages so that they had to communicate through him and kept the plan segregated. By year three, near completion, he was totally irrational, called himself the Keeper of the Castle. Then he burned the plans, murdered some of his men, and was running amok stark naked when I caught him.
Now it's supposed to be haunted by the spirits of the men he killed. And truth be known, during the investigation at night, there were noises, raps, and moans that I heard that almost gave me the vapors.
Ghosts? I learned two things early in life. Don't squat with your spurs on, and don't fool with the dead.
Oh, here I was looking forward to a seance. Oh my, look at those closets. We'd better hurry. Mm-hmm.
Get up!
Inspector Nichols! Well, I should say, what a pleasant surprise. Come in. We have a storm brewing. May I take your coat and your cloak, madam, sir?
Thank you, Langstaff. Did Sir Hedley not tell you I was coming?
You are always most welcome, sir.
Inspector Nichols, so good to see you. Sorry, can't move very fast. My lumbago.
It's a pleasure, Sir Hedley. You remember Dr. Lapierre, and this is Daniel Wellington. He's a friend.
Hello again, Sir Hedley.
Doctor, charmed. Oh, and Mr. Wellington. You're the writer, Chappie.
Guilty as charged.
I've enjoyed your stories on Inspector Nichols.
Daniel and I are on our way to Whitchurch, so we'll say goodbye.
Oh, no. Listen to the rain. The roads will be turned into 3 feet of mud in a half hour. You must all stay the night. Please, you could get into trouble out there.
Or worse trouble in here.
Beg your pardon?
Nothing, Sir Headley. Abbey doesn't want to put you out.
Nonsense. Hardly anyone comes up here anymore, so there's only me, Langstaff, a few servants, and all those old spirits I've been hearing.
Gee, Horsifat!
Bravo, Sir Headley, bravo. I'd no idea you were such an accomplished musician.
I hardly play anymore. I get so few visitors up here. But thankfully, now you and Judge Fenton in one day. Oh, it's getting chilly and damp. Langstaff, poke the fire up, please.
Certainly, Sir Headley.
Did you say Judge Fenton's here?
My heavens, I'd forgotten about the poor man. He arrived an hour before you did, but was feeling poorly. Went to bed and asked not to be disturbed until morning. I must have Langstaff bring him up some dinner.
My pardon, sir. The poker is hot.
Now, here, let me help you.
Thank you, Inspector.
Yes, there's nothing like a good fire in a man's hearth. Yeah, it reminds me of another castle near Eton. Grand estate where a gardener had vanished into thin air.
Do tell. What had happened to him?
Oh, no, Sir Headley. He'll be off to past glories again.
Well, it was an interesting case. You see, I'd kept a close ear to the ground, so I knew a coal barge near Blackfriars Bridge had something to do with it, though my Scotland Yard superior had other thoughts.
Nichols, you bloody fool. How would you charge a nobleman, Lord Rothman no less, with murder when you have no body and no motive? And why have you brought me out to this filthy coal barge?
Because I suspect Lord Rothman's gardener's here, sir.
He's working here?
No, Sir Leonard. I'm betting the constables below will find his body buried in the coal. And I do have a motive.
Really? What sort?
Lady Rothman finally admitted to me she'd been having a liaison with the gardener.
That's outrageous. I won't have talk like that.
One night when they were to meet, he suddenly vanished, and no one saw him leave the estate, though he's a strapping lad of 6'4" and wears a gold earring in each ear.
So, the cad moved on. Why are we searching this particular coal barge?
Because it had broken down and was moored near the estate the night the gardener vanished, sir. Hold its boiler, I believe is the phrase.
Now see here, Nichols. Lord Rothman is an old friend. Years ago, I hunted in Africa with him and knew him to be a man of honor, integrity, and bravery. Hardly a man who would resort to a cowardly murder to put a mere gardener in his place.
Still, sir, I'm afraid Lord Rothman has the means, more rifles than the British regulars, and now a motive.
But what real proof do you have?
Oi, Governor! We found a body in the coal! A tall man! He's got no ears!
No ears? What does he mean, no ears?
Yes, I forgot to mention, Sir Leonard. I gained access to Lord Rothman's safe yesterday, where I found 2 gold earrings with ears attached.
What a rich, recollective life you lead.
Is it fact or is it earsay?
Oh, Daniel, that's terrible.
Yes, I dare say. Well, dinner was delightful, Sir Headley. Your impromptu concert a special treat. And I do look forward to seeing Judge Fenton in the morning.
As do I. Poor fellow has been down on his luck since he retired, you know. His farm burned, wife died, children went to Australia. Well, I'm sure things will pick up for him. Now, if you'll pardon me, I believe I shall turn in. I'm not as young as I used to be.
It seems like the rain has let up somewhat, so I'll just have a quiet cigar up on your Scottish tower and enjoy the view before bedtime. You care to join me, Doctor?
Or me for a tour of the knights of old.
You'll be tired of me by the end of our journey, Daniel, so perhaps I'll catch some air with Quentin. Then off we go in the morning.
Oh, capital. And perhaps tomorrow I can try for some of your trout in your famous streams, Sir Headley.
Please do, Inspector. This is the most delightful surprise, and so do make the most of it.
Surprise, Sir Headley? What surprise?
Why, your visit, of course.
But you sent me an invitation for a weekend of trout fishing, and you said to bring Dr. Lapierre.
Now, this is odd.
Judge Fenton claimed he'd received an invitation, too. The strange thing is, I never sent out any invitations.
Ah, it smells so fresh up here. Oh, look at the lightning. The storm is not over yet.
Mm.
What's the matter?
I'm still bothered by these invitations. A practical joke? Who would do it? Why?
Oh, why? I thought you were on vacation. Put it from your mind, Quentin.
Look, Abby, I've long wanted to talk to you about something, you know. You and Wellington.
Inspector!
Oh, my God, the mere mention of his name summons him like some Egyptian plague.
Inspector, we need you down below. Something pretty bad has happened.
Got his legs, Wellington. No, Langstaff, don't cut the knot. I want to examine it.
Poor Fenton. I feel terrible about this.
I found him hanging here when I bought his sup, sir.
Hurry it up, though I don't think there's much to be done.
Lay him down, Wellington. Here, Abby.
No, he's gone.
I had no idea he was in such a deep despair, Inspector. His colour was not good when he arrived, but I thought he was tired from the trip, not despondent enough to kill himself.
Yes, indeed, it is a tragedy. He was a good man. Well, what's this on the floor? A pill. Well, let's have a closer look at the body.
Now, he must have kicked over this stool once he had the rope round his neck. In Texas, people sometimes use horses.
Yes, sir. Our Canadian horses refuse to climb stairs.
Oh, Inspector!
Sorry.
Dear God! There go the lights!
It's only the electrics, Langstaff. Get the other servants and light the lamps and candles. It's not as though we haven't been through this before, my man.
Yes, sir. Oh, my.
It's black as pitch in here. I have some parlour matches in my pocket. There. Now, Sir Headley, there's not much more to be done tonight, so I suggest we move the body down into your coal cellar. Take this matter up in the morning. Up the
Who's there? Who is in my room? Is that you, Daniel? Quentin? Look, whoever you are, get out now. Before I get out of this bed and throw you out. Do you hear me? Stay away.
You were destined for this.
Ah!
Abby? Abby, what is it?
Hurry. There was something, someone in here. I saw a large thing, a cowl.
What's all the concern commotion?
Now hold up your lamp, Wellington. There, you see? There's no one in here, Abby.
Well, there was someone. I'm not daft. I mean, he must have gone out the door.
He couldn't have. I was in the corridor right after you shouted. Loud enough to wake the dead, I might add.
Oh, thank you, Inspector. That's such a comforting phrase.
You didn't see a ghost, did you, Abby?
Please, Daniel, you're giving me goose flesh.
Oh, my sainted aunt, a ghost. Abby, you had a dream. No doubt brought on by your superstition and too much goose.
I am not superstitious. When we were here before, I heard moans and scrapings at night, and no one would believe me then. Just because I'm a woman. Must everything be attributed to feminine hysteria? Do I not have eyes and ears that work as well as yours? Oh, men!
Yes, shall I sit with you tonight?
No! Go back to your bed. When I have vanished in the morning, you'll know that I was carried away by my imagination. I'm not afraid of whatever it is, so be damned to it. Get out. Both of you.
What did I do?
All right, Abby. All right.
And leave that revolver.
Well, I'm not going to get much sleep tonight.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Wellington. Would you want me to check under your bed?
Well, would you, Inspector?
Oh, good night.
Well, darn. Now, where did that draft come from? Now, my lamp's gone out. Oh!
Stop! No! You mustn't! Leave! Now!
Oh, my head. What What's going on?
Lie still, Daniel. You've had a head injury.
What happened?
When you didn't come down for breakfast, we came up and found you here on the floor.
Oh, yeah, someone attacked me.
Mm-hmm. Yes, a cunning crossbeam over there. You see the blood on it?
Oh.
You're looking better, Mr. Wellington. Has anyone seen Langstaff? Can't ever seem to find him lately.
No, Sir Headley, but if we do, we'll tell him you're looking for him. Abby, a word?
Mm-hmm.
No, over here, please.
Yes? What is it?
There's something odd. You know the rope the judge used? The lay should have been scarred upwards from his weight. Instead, I found a long abrasion the opposite way, as though he'd been pulled up to the beam. And when I examined the body last night, you remember, there were livid bruises on his back where blood had pooled. He was prone for a time after death. And where did he get a 30-foot rope? This isn't suicide, it's murder.
What did you tell Sir Headley?
Oh, just that we were legally required to do an autopsy as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right about the lividity. Bruises are somewhat faded now, but there they are. Hand me that cotton.
Uh-huh. So it was murder.
Mm.
Oh, God, what's that stench?
Oh, just checking the bowel, Inspector. If you can't stand the heat, please leave the kitchen.
Kitchen is a bad choice of room. Yes, all right. Still, I have a queer feeling about those invitations.
They have something to do with this?
Well, don't you find it curious that you, Judge Fenton, and I are all summoned here at the same time?
Your point?
We're all at the scene of a multiple murder that took place 4 years ago. I, who arrested Miles Williams, you, who headed the panel that found him insane, and Judge Fenton, who sentenced him to life in a prison for the criminally insane, and we are here by mysterious invitation not sent by our host.
I see.
Oh, good, for once you agree with me.
No. I see what killed him.
Oh, what? Shot, stabbed, suffocated?
Try a heart attack.
Brought on by the hanging?
Brought on by arteries clogged tighter than a German sausage. The ligature marks show a total lack of bruising, and there are unmistakable signs of coronary thrombosis. This man was as dead as a doorknob when he was hanged.
Now, let me see if I understand this correctly. Our murder, that was made to look like a suicide, was really a natural death?
Mm-hmm. And some say that you're dense.
Well, someone's playing with us. But who? Who sent out the invitations? Who tried to make a natural death look like a suicide? And why?
You're the detective. But one thing is certain. I am not spending another night under this roof. Not after last night.
Well, about all we got from the staff was someone's been pilfering food for a fortnight. No closer to who sent those invitations.
Sir Headley, I'm afraid I have a confession. I sent out the invitations.
You, Langstaff? Why?
I'm sorry, sir. It's just that you've complained about being so lonesome lately. I thought a group of old friends would bring you some cheer.
Well, you sent them on Sir Headley's stationery?
Yes. I borrowed the sheets from his desk,
wrote
them out, and posted them in the village. I'm most sorry, sir.
Well, I say this clears up the mystery, and I, for one, feel much better.
And I guess I'll fetch Abby and we can mosey on out and leave you to your trout fishing, Inspector.
Now, hold on. I wouldn't dream of you missing out on this, Wellington. You know how you love fishing.
I do? I mean, I do.
Well, with Sir Headley's permission, of course.
Oh, yes. And Cook will make us another fine dinner tonight.
Well, there you go. I'm sure we'll all have a night to remember.
What are we looking for?
Another entrance into Abby's room. Do you remember when I said the architect had zealously guarded and then burned the castle plans?
Yes.
Well, rumors from some of the workmen said that the castle had been built with false walls, secret passages, trapdoors, you know, and honeycombed with ways to move about undetected. But the routes and entrances went up in smoke with the plans.
So you believe there was someone in Abby's room last night?
Yes. And I spend most of the night outside her door awaiting his return. I think that whoever sent those invitations has some rather diabolical plans for Abby and me. And maybe you now.
Langstaff?
Langstaff didn't send out the invitations. He said he used Sir Headley's stationery. My invitation and Judge Fenton's, which I found in his bag, were written on plain bond. Oh, he's involved, no doubt. But in what capacity, I've yet to determine.
Inspector, look at this. There's no mortar around this stone back here.
Oh, excellent, Wellington. Let me see. A slight push. Well, well, well. An entrance into the mysterious inner sanctum of Darkfield Castle.
We've been going through passages for 20 minutes, Inspector. It's getting downright spooky.
Hold the lantern up, Wellington, and walk carefully over here. Those steps are particularly slimy.
Yeah. My God! It's a human skeleton.
Yeah. You see here? It was chained to the wall. This might explain the moaning Abby heard years ago. Obviously the handiwork of our mad architect before we caught him.
What's that?
I don't know. If my estimate is on, it came from the keep. Do you have your revolver? Abby still has mine.
Well, that's the strangest thing. After I hit my head, or someone hit it for me, I couldn't find my Colt anywhere in my room.
Oh, dandy. Let's get out of here.
Why come all the way up to the Scottish Tower to talk? It's cold and dismal. And I think we're in for another storm.
As the woods have tongues, walls have ears.
Judge Fenton died of a heart attack. Langstaff sent out those invitations. What more is there?
Langstaff didn't send out the invitations, and Judge Fenton was not hung up like a slab of beef for decoration. There's method here. And I think the mystery begins 35 years ago.
Why?
Whoever's involved in this plot will make another attempt.
Attempt at what?
To murder us all, of course. Stop turning and go to sleep.
I thought it was my turn to stay awake.
Oh, if you don't both quiet down, it's back to my room for me. Ghost or no ghost. Oh, this Davenport is like marble.
Well, my back is killing me. This mattress doesn't have enough feathers in it.
There were plenty until you got in. Damn it, Drat, I sleep on the floor. Now, really, you must quiet down.
I saw...
Now, Wellington, uncover the lamp.
Langstaff!
Please, I've come to warn you. You must get away.
Father! You fool! You betray me!
Get down on the floor! Anyone hurt?
I'm not hurt.
I'll still hold water.
Wellington, grab the lamp. Where are my shoes?
No, don't hurt him. He's not well.
Langstaff, Abby, wake Sir Headley and the staff and go to the great room. Come on, Wellington. Right. I wager he's headed for the keep. Steady, Wellington. Up we go. Mm-hmm. But cautiously. He can be in any of the chambers, waiting in ambush.
You be careful too, Inspector. Slip off these stairs. It's a good 30 feet to the floor.
Miles? It's Inspector Nichols. I know you don't want to hurt anyone else. Then again, I've never been a great judge of character.
That's my Colt. I'd know the sound anywhere.
Stay close to the wall, Wellington. Miles?
Stay away! I'll not go back! Never! You must all perish!
It is a six-shooter, right?
You bet. Let's go.
Nicely done, Wellington. Nicely done. Langstaff was Miles' father. When he saw Sir Headley take an active interest, he kept quiet. He felt it best for the boy's future.
But why fake Judge Fenton's hanging?
Langstaff said when he walked in with dinner, the judge was on the floor, dead. Miles was standing over him and then immediately ran back into the tunnel. He thought Miles had killed the judge, so he got a rope, faked a suicide by hanging.
When did you figure this all out, Inspector?
Well, when Judge Fenton was mentioned, Langstaff dropped the poker and said it was hot. I felt it, and it was cool. Later, I figured out that the only reason for hanging a dead man who died of natural causes would be if someone thought they were covering up a murder. Put it together with missing food and a false confession about sending out the invitations, and it became obvious he was covering something, or, you know, someone. And for such a loyal and upstanding man to do so, it could only be for someone he loved very much. And in this case, it was his son.
How did you know Miles had escaped and returned?
I didn't. Until it became plain someone was using secret passages to get into your room in Wellington's. Miles was the only one who knew about them. And we were the three people responsible for incarcerating him. As the saying goes, revenge is a dish best eaten cold.
Hmm. What will happen to Langstaff?
Oh, nothing likely. After the hearing, Sir Headley wants him back at Darkfield. He did save your life, Wellington, and then ours. Without his warning, we might have been killed in that room. He was torn between the love of his son and protecting us. In the end, he chose the high road.
Why didn't someone tell Sir Headley that Miles had escaped?
Well, they did. Sir Headley got a telegram this morning. Bureaucratic timing at his best.
I'm going to go harness the horse, Abby, if you're ready.
Yes, fine, Daniel. I'll be out directly. Now, I believe that we have some unfinished business, Quentin Nichols.
Really? What sort?
When we were on the parapet, before this mess started, you said you wanted to ask about Daniel and me. So, go ahead and ask.
Well, I don't really recall. I might have been concerned about your journey.
Inspector, you seem to be afraid of nothing except any human feeling you might have.
Well, yeah, all right. I do think of you, you know, more than occasionally. I mean, yeah, whatever. Fine pathologist you are. Keen mind and a stout heart.
You're impossible. Never mind. Enjoy your fishing.
You ready, Abby?
I think I've had enough of fishing. I feel like a carriage trip. Now, give me a moment. I'll get my bag, I'll say my goodbyes, and I'll join you.
You're joshing.
Never more serious in my life. After all, the fish will wait. It's more than I can say about some people.
You have just heard The Investigations of Quentin Nichols for this week. A play called The Keeper of the Castle by John Richard Wright. Neil Monroe was heard as Quentin Nichols, with Sarah Orenstein as Abby Lapierre. Peter Millard was Daniel Wellington. Bernard Behrens was Sir Leonard Cockerell. Others in the cast were Stephen Bush as Langstaff, Graham Haley as Sir Headley, and Paul Haddad as Miles Williams. The recording engineer was Joe Mahoney. Sound effects were by Matt Wilcott. Casting was by Linda Grierson. The associate producer was Colleen Woods. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. The program was produced and directed by Barry Morgan. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. Next time, a routine trip to London, Ontario brings Nichols face to face with his fondest wish and worst nightmare. Join us then. See you next week.